This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on November 18th, 2010. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
We'll turn next to draft advisory opinion 2010-24, the Republican Party of San Diego County. I understand that that council or that there will be someone who will be calling in from the party. Do we know whether or not they're available, or do we need to take a moment to contact them?
Mr. Chairman, we're going to try and contact her now.
Okay. Why don't we take just a brief recess while you're contacting them, and once that's established, then we'll
thank you.
Come back into session.
They start.
Hello?
Ms. Bowling?
Yes.
This is Sean Worth. I'm calling from the Federal Election Commission.
Yes.
Okay, could you please hold on? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. I guess we're ready. Our open meeting is now back in order, and we will turn to our discussion of draft advisory opinion 2010-24. We have another presentation from Joshua Bloom from the Office of General Counsel. We have with us on the phone April Bowling, who's treasurer of the San Diego County Republican Party. And is Ms. Bowling, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Bloom, when you're ready, please begin.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda document number 1071 contains four alternative draft responses, drafts A, B, C, and D, to a request for an advisory opinion from the Republican Party of San Diego County. The committee has hired an employee to serve as its voter registration coordinator. This individual recruits, trains, and supervises contractors hired by the committee to implement its voter registration program. The committee asks a series of four questions, the first of which is whether the activities of the employee are voter registration activity and therefore type 1 federal election activity. With respect to this question, all four drafts conclude that at least some of the employee's activities qualify as FEA. They differ, however, over whether the activities so qualifying are type 1 or type 4 FEA, over whether the employee must be paid for those activities solely with federal funds or may be paid with an allocated mixture of federal and Levin funds, and over the period of time during which any payment restrictions apply. With respect to the other questions presented, the drafts differ over whether the executive director's supervision of the employee is also FEA, and over whether the committee may amend its reports to allocate some salary payments between federal and non-federal funds. In response to the final question, all four drafts conclude that these responses would not change under the new FEA rules. We received one comment on the drafts. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Any questions of counsel, questions of Ms. Bowling, or any discussion on these on this request? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to keep this tight. I really don't have any questions for the requester, but thank you for being available because it's not really, to me, a factual issue. But what this request, at least for me, illustrates is that what's FEA and what's not FEA is a complicated subject, even when the facts are clear. Going in no particular order, I found the comment helpful in that it made me realize that there's many ways to read the law. I'm not sure it reaches the correct result, but I'm not sure it reaches the incorrect result. But it certainly is one way to skin the cat that reaches a completely different result than any of the current drafts reach. The problem that I have with this issue in this request is the intersection of the federal election activity requirement that it should be paid for with all hard money and the so-called Levin Amendment, which allows for certain activity to be paid for with a mixture. As four types of federal election activity, and some folks, I think, well, this is salary, so that's covered by Type 4, and there's a reg that interprets Type 4, and this is a pretty easy case when you go down that road, I suppose. But I don't think it's that easy, because I think in that case it reads out of the statute the Levin Amendment, because the Levin Amendment itself says if the activity is of the activity described in Type 1 or Type 2, then you can use a mixture. The Levin Amendment has certain limitations on it. None of those are tied to whether it's a salaried employee or a contractor or whatnot. There are limitations that preclude Levin funds from being used for Type 3, which is a federal public communications reference federal candidates that promote, attack, support, oppose them. But there is no such limitation with respect to salary. So for me, the Levin Amendment has some application here. There is a reg that tries to, I guess you can read the reg to say the 11th Amendment doesn't apply, but a reg really can't rewrite the statute. The point the comment makes regarding Emily's list, I think, is a wise caution that when the commission gets off of the actual statutory language, we need to be cautious, because that hasn't ended well before. The flip side is, when you disregard a reg, that doesn't end well either. Others can cite case law for that proposition as well. So this, to me, is a very tough one, because it really is the kind of question that I don't think the commission has had to confront before, because it's really a factual situation that the broad gloss of the statute and the regs really don't necessarily contemplate. But here we are, so we have to deal with it. But for me, I see this as an activity that's described in Type 1. At least some of the activity that this employee is conducting is Type 1 FEA, meaning voter registration. Not all of it, but the coordinator of the voter registration effort, some of it certainly is voter registration. So because that would certainly be FEA, but for the fact that, well, it's still FEA, but how you pay for it is I think, governed by the Levin Amendment, not the Type 4 more broad. I read Type 1 as the more specific of the statute, not Type 4. I think Type 4 is more of a catch-all anti-circumvention type thing to capture what had been a practice of moving staff from campaigns after the primary to a party committee to pay them with some mixture of hard and soft, and to do what's essentially the bidding of one or two federal candidates. I think it was put in there to avoid that being just shifted down to the state parties. So to me, the action is more in the other types of FEA, and the Levin Amendment was sold to allow party programs to be paid for not entirely with hard money in certain circumstances. I think this is that sort of circumstance. So I can't support a draft that makes this all hard. With respect to the executive director, I think that's a much easier issue. I think there may be some disagreement on it, though, but to me, there does get to a point where you're not conducting voter registration simply because you're supervising those who do. Otherwise, it would seem that virtually every party, particularly the smaller the party, the more likely this is to occur, would federalize everything. That seems to be counter to much of the rhetoric that accompanied the passage of McCain-Feingold, particularly the fact that the Levin Amendment was necessary for the bill to even pass. And I guess larger parties can have multiple employees, but the smaller the party, the less employees there are. And at a certain point, the ED, I think, is the executive director, is just that, and that's not something that's going to be considered federal election activity, unless the executive director is only doing, you know, federal candidate activity, then that's a different case. I don't think that's the case here. At some point, this issue will come up again and again and again, and I think the commission is getting closer to it. Just the evolution of how things happen is coming up more in audits, not this particular issue, but the FEA issue, and it's something I think we're going to confront in the future. There hasn't been a lot in the past. Some have criticized this one reg that I've mentioned, because the reg seems to even rewrite Type 4. Type 4 says activities in connection with a federal election. Most case law construes the in connection with a federal election when that's accompanied by the word expenditure. So I think the Congress intended to get beyond that distinction, but then the reg still says federal election activity or activities in connection with a federal election. So the reg seems to make them two different things. That doesn't make any sense because it would seem that one would be a subset of the other, but maybe not. Maybe they are two different things. But if you are going to look at Type 4 and incorporate the federal election activity, I think coming, if you're going to take that and essentially incorporate Type 1 into Type 4, you have to bring the Levin Amendment with it, and still means that you have to allow the party to use Levin funds. This party may not have Levin funds. This all may be an academic discussion, but I appreciate the time to state my piece as to where I am on this, because I think going forward it may help someone somewhere work through the thicket of federal election activity. Because ultimately I think what folks will do, and I think what they have done, is they think through how tough it is to do this, do things without doing it with all hard money, and they simply throw their hands in the air and just say, I guess we'll pay people with all hard, thus avoiding the issue. Someday someone will not avoid the issue, and they'll test it, and they will sort of go back to the beginning. The comment cites an AO from 2003 for a proposition that really I don't think the AO stands for, but I can see how they're reading it that way. The AO is interesting in that the commission said benefits are part of the salary for purposes of Type 4 FEA, which may seem rather easy until you think through the idea that you have to pay benefits at the beginning of the month before the employee does time, and then I guess at the end of the month, if they cross over this 25% threshold, you have to redo the employment benefits. This becomes so cumbersome that I can see folks would just throw their hands in the air and say, well, I guess we're going to use all hard money. But that practical result does away with the Levin Amendment and the other limitations that were crafted in the statute. And at some point, this will come back to haunt, I think, the commission. But today is not that day, and I appreciate the time, Mr. Chairman, to state my piece.
Further questions or discussion? I agree with Commissioner McGann that the interaction of Levin funds with Type 4 FEA, how does that work, and how does Type 1 and 2 interact with Type 4? And after we've had many discussions, discussed this with my own staff, having looked at this many times, it isn't an easy issue. This one's been a very difficult one for me to determine how to land. The draft that I ultimately support is draft A, which does say that the voter registration coordinator will, by the representations of the party itself, more than 25% of her time is spent on activities that would be considered FEA, and for that reason, I'm landing on this draft, which says that must be paid, that her salary then must be paid out of the federal account. I agree with Commissioner McGann, though, that the executive director should, that the answer on that question is that the activities of that director do not constitute voter registration activity. At some point, you start running these things up the up the food chain high enough that I just don't think that, you know, general supervisory activities are enough to trigger activities that are considered FEA. So, again, this I agree with much of what Commissioner McGann said. This is an issue that I think is going to come back, and we're going to have to continue to grapple with this one in the future. It's not an easy question, but the draft that ultimately I will be willing to support is draft A. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support draft B. I think there is, in some ways, this actually is not that, this isn't going to be a long-standing precedent, since we're interpreting a regulation that's going to expire in about 2 weeks. Some of the issues will have enduring vitality even under the broader regulation that we recently adopted. Interpreting FEA. Now, you know, the statute and the rule itself say that you have to pay somebody with entirely federal funds, even if they do only 25% federal work. So clearly the statute and the reg contemplate that people could be doing a substantial amount of non-federal work, and still they would have to be paid with federal funds. For me, it's not a hard call that the individual who's doing this, the employee, as we term it in our draft, is doing far more than 25%. And while we seem to have some disagreements about how much above the 25% threshold this employee has gotten in her duties, it seems, I think, that we have general agreement that whatever she is doing, it's more than 25%. Some of us think it's substantially more. Some of us think it's a little bit more. But I think we have general agreement that it is more. So she does have to be paid with federal funds. I also think the supervisor has to be, the executive director has to be paid with federal funds. I'm less sanguine that we will have an agreement on that. But, you know, I guess answering half a question is better than answering none.
Thank you. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, for many of the reasons that Commissioner Weintraub just mentioned, I also support Draft B. I would note that obviously we don't have the details of the executive director's activities, but to the extent that it is related to the supervising, I don't believe we do. So that will depend entirely upon what the supervisor is doing. Otherwise, if it is not over more than 25% related to other federal activities, including this voter registration activity, then obviously it could be paid with non-federal money.
Commissioner McGann.
If I can, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask you a question to sort of get a sense of the scope of what we're doing here. I understand your analysis, and I think it's certainly a sound analysis. I think, you know, I think mine works too, and I think it's just one of these things where you can read the same thing and come out differently. But how I hear it, because this director, not the executive director, but the coordinator of the party program, is an employee, that seems to be the critical fact. What if the employee were not an employee but were a contractor? Would that change? Maybe the local party will know for the future. You know, is that the distinction?
From my perspective, I think that's a very critical distinction. I think that an employee. I mean, I think there is a difference between an employee and a contractor. I think the payments to a contractor. I think those would fall. I mean, let's assume that in this particular case, if this. That this person wasn't a salaried employee of the party, but was instead a contractor who was brought in to help out with their voter registration activities. In that case, I think the activities that they undertake that would be considered FEA would have to be paid for with a mix of federal money and levin. And then if they did other activities that did not implicate, that would not be considered activities in connection with the federal election, that could be paid for out of their non-federal account. So I do think that the distinction between an employee and a contractor is a very critical one in this case. And if this employee were a contractor instead of, again, being a salaried employee of the party, I think the analysis would be much different.
Thanks for that. Hopefully that may help those who listen to this who are trying to get guidance as to where the lines are, know where the where the issue is. It is odd, though, that, you know, the application of McCain-Feingold turns on whether one's an employee or not. But, you know, the statute itself does differentiate between employees and other people. And that certainly is based on you know, a reading of the statute. So I thank the chairman for that, and hopefully that certainly helps me. I hope it helps others.
Any further questions or discussion? Commissioner Weintraub.
To the extent we're providing guidance, I just, you know, I'm glad the two of you are on the same page on that issue. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's a consensus on the commission on that point.
At this point, any further questions or comments? At this point, I would just inquire of my colleagues. It doesn't appear that there's four votes for any one draft. We could vote on particular drafts if anyone's so inclined, or we could. It looks like there may be some possibility of getting an answer on question one that might garner majority support, and so we could either have votes on drafts, or we could instruct council to craft an advisory opinion draft that could be circulated on tally that would attempt to kind of convey where we have potential agreement and where we don't. Commissioner Walther.
I think maybe the Vice Chair was going to covered what I was going to suggest.
Okay. Vice Chair?
I think that it does appear that there is overlap as to question one, and I think that would obviously be a good step. I think initially there's some interest in having a vote on one of the drafts, so I'd like to make a motion if that's appropriate at this time.
Commissioner Hunter.
Thank you. Just before we vote, I intend to vote for draft A as well, and I agree with everything my colleague, the chairman, said, and with much of what my colleague, Commissioner McGinn, said. It has been an interesting discussion that we've had amongst ourselves, and I wanted to also agree that there is a distinction if the employee is an employee or if there is a contracting situation. As we know, most state parties do a lot of they contract out a lot of this type of work, you know, usually pretty close to the election date. Thank you.
Commissioner Walther.
I'll just join the comments of Commissioner Weintraub and the Vice Chair. I would support draft B. If there were consensus, I'd just say I'd probably support draft C as well. But there is some reference here to the fact that in our E&J in 2006, we said that GOTV, which is known as Type 2 FEA, if a state committee hires a consultant a month prior to the election designed to design a GOTV program for a state party committee and recruit volunteers to drive voters on, to the polls on election day, the consultant's work would be considered Type 2 FEA. And I think that's something that I just wanted to point out as we go ahead. It's not really necessary to how we end up voting today, but so I'll support draft B.
Okay.
But
Commissioner McGann.
But that's not for voter reg. That's GOTV, right? We're talking about voter reg today, right?
Okay. Okay. Do we have a motion then?
Mr. Chairman, I move the draft B in advisory opinion 2010-24.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. No. Appears the motion fails on a vote of 3-3 with Commissioners Walther, Weintraub, and the Vice Chair in favor, and Commissioners McGann, Hunter, and myself opposed. At this point, then, I'd like to instruct Council to craft a draft that reflects the majority, where the majority may have an answer on question one. There would be no answer on question two, and then circulate that on maybe 24-hour tally. Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I believe there's also a question, consensus as to question four, which is whether the answer would change under the new regulation. So obviously that would have to be crafted along with the answer that's available in one.
Yep, I think that's correct.
Mr. Chairman, I would...
Ms. Smith.
I would also note that the requester's 60-day period, which has been extended, is currently up on Monday the 22nd, which gives us a little bit of time to craft something and send it around if that works for the commissioners. I just want everyone to be aware of the timing.
Okay. I appreciate you making us aware of that.
I think she's suggesting that, you know, if it comes around on Monday and people have already left their Thanksgiving travel, that could be an issue. So maybe we can anticipate that.
Okay. I appreciate you making that bringing that to our attention, and we'll certainly be sensitive to that so that we can make sure that we can conclude this in a timely fashion. Okay. I guess we can now move to the next matter. Ms. Worth.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Bowling?
I guess she hung up.
No, I'm not. I'm here.
Oh, you are there. Okay.
I'm sorry. You guys are kind of cutting in and out, so I couldn't tell if you were addressing me or not. Sorry.
That's okay. The commission has concluded the discussion on your advisory opinion request, so I'm going to hang up on you.
No okay, offense. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bowling.
Thank you for making yourself available.
Bye.
John has drums.